my good fortune to be amongst all of you, to be able to share something from Umayapur Yatra, which I attended in 2012, Kartik time. As my wife was mentioning, like, attending the Yatra itself was practically impossible for us because our flight was booked, our flight to India was booked for 31st, and which was the time when the storm was hitting the airport, and then the airport was getting closed that particular day. And we were supposed to take our flight from New York. So we were supposed to drive from Boston to New York on that day and board the flight. So it was practically impossible for us to attend the Yatra. But somehow by Guru and Krishna's mercy, we made the decision of just going to the airport 3 days earlier, although like we did not have a confirmed ticket. And my wife spent about 7 hours over phone with different travel agents, but they just say that it's not possible. So we just thought of trying our luck, going to the airport to see if they somehow allow us to go. So when we went there on 27th, and so they said that, okay, we for tonight we don't have a flight, but next day we would be able to give you the ticket till Dubai. But then after that, there will be 3 days of gap before you can take flight from Dubai. So we were like really happy on one hand that we were able to at least go, but then I was praying internally that like we don't want to waste our time in Dubai. So somehow by Krishna's arrangement we just got the whole ticket after going to Dubai, and everything was just taken care of in a very inconceivable way. So we were very, very fortunate to be able to make it to the Yatra this year. And especially when we performed the Yatra in the company of devotees, it has its own benefit, which is different from, or which is not possible to get, like even if we are just visiting the Holy Dham on our own, or just visiting the Holy Dham even like with some friends, because when we go in the company of devotees, and especially in the presence of a pure devotee like Isidrana Srimapada Swami, so what happens is that he brings the mercy of the Holy Dham into our heart, which otherwise is inaccessible completely. So it is not that I can say that I have achieved the perfection of going to the Holy Dham, but at least like I got to see some glimpse of the different potencies that are there in the Holy Dham because of being in the presence of the devotees, and especially guided by Isidrana Srimapada Swami. So there are many highlights for me in this Yatra, but I would like to probably share about two places. One is Kolhapur, where we visited Jagannadas Babaji's home, and the other one was Advaita Acharya's home in Shantipur. So first let me go to Advaita Acharya Prabhu's home. The day we visited Advaita Acharya Prabhu's home, it was raining profusely, and all kinds of material inconveniences that one could think of were all present. So that's why Maharaj began speaking there by saying that, "Are you happy?" And then he completed that sentence by saying that, "Are you happy being in this material world?" So he wanted to draw our attention closer to the different conditions prevalent within this world. And then he made a very, very esoteric statement quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which I did not understand at that point in time, although he repeated thrice. So I was, after coming back, I was trying to understand what he said. So I wanted to just mention that point he made in Shantipur, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that that those or one who does not understand. Anybody knows what I am going to say? Those who attended the Mahapur Yatra? Anybody remembers that statement? Okay. One who does not understand that the complications that are ever present. Now I can recall what I am trying to remember. The complications that are ever present in this material universe are beneficial in a way that is eternal and free. Actually, there were like two other words that were used. Eternal full of knowledge or something like that. So eternal and free, these words were there definitely. Eternal and free would is not able to experience what is devotional life. I'm obviously going to repeat this just so that like you can connect what I'm trying to say. So what he said is that one who does not understand that the complications that are ever present within this material universe are beneficial in a way that is free, eternal and free, is not going to really experience the beauty of devotional life. So what is the meaning of that? So what he was trying to explain based on the circumstances there was that the complications are always going to be present in this material world. But those who are not able to connect those inconveniences that are ever present to actually enhance our Krishna consciousness, they are missing out on the experiences that Krishna is providing before us to advance. So therefore, one who does not understand that the complications which are ever present in this material world is beneficial in a way that is eternal and free, that person who is not understanding is basically missing out on the devotional life. Because devotional life is all about trying to connect with our experiences in this material world and trying to think how I can still access Guru and Krishna's mercy in that condition. So Maharaj tried to connect that point just noticing the circumstance in Shantipur, but I couldn't understand at that point in time. I only later on had to revisit that. The second thing which actually touched my heart was, actually there were multiple places, I shouldn't say second, but one of the things that I could right now connect after getting this service of trying to share is that when we visited Koladweep, Maharaj shared so many wonderful pastimes of Jagannath Babaji there. But the particular highlight that comes up in the context of Jagannath Babaji is his very, very elevated position as Vaishnava Sarvabhauma. And what makes him the most elevated Vaishnava is in his complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and the austerity to which he was, or the stricture to which he was chanting on a daily basis. So Maharaj was just sharing the kind of austerities that he would go through and then challenge us that could even conceive of that. And the kind of challenge, the kind of austerities that Jagannath Das Babaji would go through, like especially during the Chaturmasya period, is that the first month he would be taking only one banana. And then second month, so one banana every day by the way, one banana every day. Then second month, it would be guava. Then third month, it would be some unsalted khichdi. And so in this way, at every month, his austerity would be like something which we could not even think of. But associated with that austerity, which is like, I always think of whenever I hear about Jagannath Babaji, those 4 months austerity, that similar to Dhruva Maharaj's austerity when he was in the forest, like how he would stretch his austerity to the limit. So finally, like, it would come to a state when Jagannath Babaji would practically not eat anything on a daily basis. So what would be sustaining his life? The holy name. And Maharaj shared that what is the ideal time of chanting based on Jagannath Das Babaji's life. So he said that there generally 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning is very good for chanting, and likewise in the evening 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. But for us, we know that that we are encouraged to chant our rounds during the Brahma Muhurta hour. And Maharaj always wants to bring focus to that core instruction of bringing strength to hearing and chanting. So I was able to at least somehow connect to Maharaj's instruction on strengthening our sadhana, which is to hear and chant with more quality and as much purity we can muster. Now, I have been born in Canada, and I've been brought up for many number of years in Canada. So, when we go to Mayapur, it does not look like a foreign place to me, like in terms of the language, in terms of the culture. But I should say very openly that although I spent so many number of years in Calcutta, but I have not even got any benefit of being in that land or being so close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace until I actually came in contact with Maharaj, and then because of his mercy, able to find so many wonderful glories of the place where I was so close to living. So what I'm trying to say is that in our life, what really is valuable is the opportunity to hear from pure devotees, especially like Maharaj, because that's what actually brings out the glory of the place. It's not about just taking a birth there, it's not about taking having spent many number of years there, it's not about being able to speak the local language there. All these things are immaterial. But what really matters is that are we able to really go deeper into the significance of the place? Because what makes that place so significant is that Krishna himself, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with other Vishnu Tattvas and other loving associates, they have been frolicking around in that land, and then just distributing the love of God freely in terms of the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So until and unless we are able to connect with that message, just being born there or just having spent time there does not have any benefit whatsoever. So at least when I visited this time, I was trying to connect to the good fortune I had to be able to receive that, receive and at least understand the glory of that place, Mayapur, which otherwise is just hidden. And Maharaj had been emphasizing that that's the place which is the sum total of all the different places where Krishna performs pastimes. And that remains confidentially hidden. So it's only like by hearing we come to know that actually that's the place where not only like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is the sum total of all the incarnations, but the place itself, the land itself is the all the holy dhams are residing there. So I was trying to connect with that message that how esoteric that place is, which otherwise looks so ordinary to the mundane vision. So that was my personal appreciation for the yatra this year. So thank you for tolerating me.
Hare Krishna. So I had the good fortune as well to visit the Mayapur Dham last year. It was the mercy of the devotees and especially our mentors, Ganga Narayan and Varsana, who mentioned that there is Mayapur Yatra this year. So I was able to look into it and I was able to get time off from work. And then in spite of Sandy and all that, I was able to reach there in time. And it was wonderful, wonderful arrangement by the devotees and our Guru Maharaj. He really showed us the real Mayapur. I mean, I was there in Mayapur about 7 years before that, but it was just a visit to the temple and the surrounding areas. But this time, Maharaj really showed us what is true Mayapur. Of course, all our 9 days of yatra are memorable. They are amazing, wonderful. But one of the places which I always remember after coming back is on our 6th day when we went to Gauridas Pandit's temple. So we went, started off morning by bus, then took the boat ride and then walked to Ambika Kalna. So this is where we have Gauridas Pandit's temple. Here we have the Bhavamurti, which is the form of Lord in a particular mood. And this is the first Gaur Nitai deities. This is where they were manifested the first time. And Maharaj shared wonderful pastimes. Gauridas would make offering to the deities and they would be gone. So it's really amazing. And once the deities, they also decorated themselves. And then Maharaj mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda were there and the deities were there. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they wanted to leave, Gauridas asked them to still stay behind. And then they said, well, the deities are there, so why do you want us to leave? I mean, why don't you allow us to leave? Because we and the deities are the same. So then Gauridas said, then why don't the deities leave and you can stay behind if we are both the same? So they said, okay. And then they just stood up and the deities started leaving. And then Gauridas, he saw that in amazement. And he said, no, no, no. Why don't you come back and you leave? So this happened few times. I mean, Gauridas would really be puzzled. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda would then stand on the altar and the deities would leave, and then he would ask them to come back and then ask them to leave, and this went back and forth several times. So it's really amazing pastime. And even today what they do is that they shut the curtain every now and then. You can just have darshan for about a minute because the pujaris don't want the deities to leave once they hear the kirtan and see the devotees. And there they have also kept a small paddle for a rowing boat which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had used. And he gave it to Gauridas and asked him to use that oar to guide other living beings to cross this ocean of suffering. And also, there is a copy of Bhagavad Gita which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has himself written by his own hand. So these places, I mean, in a way they brought me closer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, I have been hearing about his pastimes, but then really visiting these places and really seeing all those places where the pastimes actually occurred, and also seeing like the ore and the Bhagavad Gita. So I try to meditate upon them, and this is what I have brought back from the Mayapur Dham. Hare Krishna. I don't know who's next, so if anybody wants to go ahead.
So much clarity to have great relations like all the other devotees share it. So I just want to share what I experienced and what happened to me after the Mayapur Yatra, more than what happened in the Mayapur Yatra for me. So before, I was anticipating going to Yatra for so many years. I really wanted to go to Yatra. I wanted to go to Vrindavan, Mayapur for so many years. But for some reason or other, I couldn't go. But this year, by Krishna's mercy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and Guruma's mercy, I could go. So I was really looking forward to that, because many devotees told me Mayapur Yatra is so wonderful, Mayapur place is so potent, powerful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, like that many devotees shared. So I was really looking forward to it. And then initially I went to my in-law's place before I went to the Yatra. And then I heard from my mother-in-law that she heard from Premtani Mataji, my mentor, that it is very good to chant as many rounds as possible, not just chant of 16 rounds and be satisfied with it. Then that helped me also, so I chanted. I had a little bit more time because I am in India, not in office here. So I chanted a little bit more rounds and anticipating to go to Yatra. So then went to the Mayapur Yatra, and by my good fortune, Raghunandan Prabhu was also there, and I had association of Raghunandan Prabhu. That was very beneficial and useful for me, because we both, our family and Raghunandan Prabhu, went together in the car. So then, because this is almost like first Yatra I'm going, I went to Sautantra Yatra before, but never to Mayapur or Vrindavan with Maharaj. So I heard from Raghunandan Prabhu that, I saw Raghunandan Prabhu that he is always chanting in the Yatra, whenever any little time he gets, all the time he is chanting. So then by seeing his example, I was also trying to chant with him, whatever I can. So then, like that, I was used to going to all the places that Guru Maharaj took us and hearing whatever I can. Then I heard that it is very, one more thing happened. We went to Tirupati before Yatra. One devotee told me how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva deities and Mayapur are so merciful, that he's seen several cases where some devotees or even devotees' parents go there to Mayapur. They didn't have any contact, much practice of devotional service before, but the moment they come back, they transformed. They start chanting more rounds, they go like this. I heard that. That was also very inspiring for me to go to the Yatra. So then, during the Yatra, wherever I went to, all the places Maharaj took, all the deities I prayed as sincerely as I can, to please engage me always in his service, and please purify me from my offenses, so I can chant attentively that you prayed. And then one other thing that happened within the yatra is I seen that all the disciples of Guru Maharaj are so much deep respect for Guru Maharaj, spiritual master, and they have so much mood of service to serve Guru Maharaj. So I really felt, wow, this is nice. I don't have that. I also realized that I don't have that service mood to spiritual master and so much respect for spiritual master. I really want to develop that respect and appreciation for Guru Maharaj and that eagerness to serve Guru Maharaj. That's the other relation I had in Mayapur Yatra. And then when we came back, then it happened that from being in Mayapur Yatra, I felt like chanting is very nice, like I described. Then I felt like chanting, understood that chanting is very, very important. So I started chanting when I come back also, trying to put whatever I could do to improve my quality. Obviously it's not best quality, but whatever I could do, I tried to focus on my chanting. And then when the Thanksgiving retreat Guru Maharaj was giving at Seattle, he was talking about the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was like really beneficial for me, because Guru Maharaj was first class, he was telling was the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, how is so beneficial and so very essential for our spiritual life, and how it's very, very important to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day or hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. So what I noticed from that retreat was that I have so many impurities before, even now I have so many impurities, but my impurity level was so much before the yatra that after I come back, when I hear something, I'm able to register something now. Earlier I couldn't register much. I'm able to hear classes regularly, but I couldn't register much. So now when I'm hearing, I understand, oh, this is nice. I can retain something. Earlier I would say class is nice. So now I can feel that is, oh, some, at least one or two things I can remember now. So I felt, so then one from that class appreciation of Guru Maharaj, appreciating Srimad Bhagavatam so much from his heart. So I started reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day from that time onwards. Then I was releasing Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada books also. Earlier I used to read, but it's like, okay, that's good. Like, it used to be like that for me. But then, now I feel like I can understand a little bit. I don't understand the subtle message still much, but at least I felt it's a lot better than before going to yatra. So I really don't know like Paramahamsa was saying, I don't know the clarity what really helped. But one thing I heard in Srimad Bhagavatam also when I was reading or hearing the class, I heard that when you hear in the holy place, like Mayapur, from a pure devotee, then that has so much potency that will benefit spiritually so much. So that was one thing I was attributing to, is all Guru Maharaj mercy, and then also praying to all the deities, Chidambaram Prabhu, Panchatattva, Radha Madhav, Narasimha Dev was praying, and they're ready to give mercy so much, I felt. So with that, in a sense, I felt I got purified a little bit, but I also understand that I have a lot of purification to go through. But I'm happy that I got the opportunity to go to Mayapur Yatra and take Guru Maharaj Association like this, and also get inspired with all the devotees association. They're so wonderfully practicing Krishna consciousness and serving Guru Maharaj. Yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.